We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie, 94 at WIP. Hey, let me tell you, if you don't know, the Pizzadelphia 3 is happening. That's right, Pizzadelphia 3, the takeout tour, presented by Gerhard's Appliances. Tickets are going to go on sale November 9th in about 2 weeks. And, you know, we've had so much fun with Pizzadelphia the last couple of years. Obviously, with the pandemic, can't do the full, you know, festival, Pizzadelphia festival this year. So we're bringing the pizza to you. We're going to make it real easy. Every week, a ticket will go on sale that will get you a full-size pizza from five different great Philly pizzerias for just $25. That's five pizzas for $25. It's a spectacular deal. 4 weeks, four different tickets, five pizzerias each week. You can see all of the pizzerias and sign up for pre-sale access at pizzadelphiafest.com. It's going to be a wonderful thing, clearly, as it has been the last couple of years. All brought to us by Trident Mortgage, Philadelphia Contribution Ship, and Peroni. All right, let's go out right now on the Schwartz-Carlton guest line. If you're injured at work, get justice. Call Schwartz-Carlton at 800-JUSTICE. They are the first place Philadelphia Eagles. Doesn't mean they're good, but they are in first place. Big game on Sunday. And for more, we talked to our buddy. Of course, you can follow his work at Shiel Kapati on Twitter, Mr. Shiel Kapati. What's up, Shiel?
You're making me hungry. I'm signing up for that pizza deal, dude, as soon as I get off the phone here with you.
Are you
unreal
kidding,
deal.
Five pizzas for $25? Wild.
Listen,
man.
No one likes a deal more than me, Joe. And you throw it for pizza, I mean, I'm in.
Well, to be clear, I think Angelo likes a deal the most of everybody. He's known as a kind of a frugal kind of guy. So you might be in second place there. All right, Shiel, you saw the Eagles tape versus the Giants, and we'll go through tons of parts. But let me just start with a big picture one that applies both to this game and other games. What is it do you see from the Eagles offense when they're going good? And what is it that you see from the Eagles offense when they're going bad? And is there a discernible difference other than just like, well, a guy got beat or Carson was inaccurate or a guy dropped the ball? Like, is there something about how they strategize it that creates a difference between success and failure and lessons that Doug should implement for future weeks?
I think the biggest issue with the offense is that they brought in all these coaches, you know, pushed by all accounts, Jeffrey Lurie, Howie Roseman telling Doug Peterson, hey, we need some new ideas in the building. And then you bring in these guys from different schemes and you try to mold it all together here in a shortened offseason. And I don't see an offense that has any type of identity. You know, on one series, I'm thinking, hey, they want to be the Kyle Shanahan 49ers and run play action and bootlegs. On the next series, they're in shotgun. They're spreading it out. They're running RPOs. Now, it's fine to have different elements to your offense, but there has to be some type of fit. There has to be some type of comfort level for the quarterback, and I have not seen that at all this offseason. So that's the big issue. Now, when it's going well, I mean, really, there have not been a lot of instances when it goes well. You know, it's a possession here. It's a drive there. I do think when they go into tempo and it's the end of a game and it's no huddle and it's just, you know, Carson, go out and make some plays. I've always thought that was a smart thing to do because he's aggressive. You know, you don't want him thinking too much. Go out there. If he makes mistakes, that's okay. And so I guess that's one thing that has stood out a little bit, that if you wanted to go more tempo, and they've tried this at times, but if you want to go more tempo, more no huddle earlier in games, that to me would not be a bad idea.
Well, let's take the opening drive of this game. You know, we moved the ball right down the field. Was that because we got DeSean Jackson more involved? Was there anything you can point to specifically that they did differently and then had to go away from later in the game?
I mean, there wasn't really. You know, I wish I had a great answer for you, but yeah. They had an end around to DeSean. That was nice. They had a completion to DeSean. They had the run game was working a little bit there, I thought, and Carson Wentz was accurate. You know, I think what happened in that game is that, you know, you have offensive line issues, obviously, and Carson Wentz is in a tough spot, and I don't think he reacted to the pressure very well either. Whereas the game went on, you could see there are times when protection's actually holding up. He's bailing from the pocket. He's uncomfortable. He's not seeing the field well. He's not accurate. And then all of a sudden, the end of the game, he makes these three or four throws that give you the win. So it really was the whole Carson Wentz experience there.
Let's talk about that O-line. How much better was Suo Peta than Jamon Brown?
He was better. You know, I think there's upside with Opeta. You know, there are times where you could really see his athleticism, whether he got out on a screen pass there to the left side where he did a nice job. You could see him climbing to the linebacker. He's a guy who can really move, and I liked him more in the run game. Now, in pass pro, he certainly did have some issues. You know, there was a play where he just got walked right back into Carson Wentz's face. They had some issues with stunts, but certainly a player I would like to see more of, whereas after 1 week of Jamon Brown, it was a player I did not need to see again.
Is there anything that they can do? Doug has asked, hey, why can't Carson be more consistent? And he doesn't have a good answer. Can you assess that? Is there anything that he can do? Like, is it mechanics? Is it just when things break down around him, it puts him in a bad spot and they need to prevent that? What can you identify?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm not a mechanics expert, but to me, when you look at quarterbacks around the league, like Carson Wentz, who have these accuracy issues, it absolutely has to be mechanics. Because when you look at these throws in the short and intermediate part of the field, when it's a throw to the flat to the running back, I mean, you know, every quarterback will miss that time and again for sure. But as consistently as he's missing that, I mean, his completion percentage is what, 58%, 59%. I mean, it's worse than it was his rookie year. And so that, to me, is certainly very concerning. And so you combine that with all the negative plays. You know, he leads the league in interceptions right now. He's got the third most fumbles, and he's been sacked more than any quarterback. So, I mean, when you're starting it, that is sort of your foundation with your offense and your quarterback. It's just tough to get much going. And, you know, I don't know if the mechanics, if they didn't get enough reps, if there were things they needed to change in the offseason, that affected him. I mean, it's tough for me to put my finger on, you know, his shoulder, his footwork, his base, all those different types of things. Mm-hmm. But it's obvious when a guy is missing this many throws week in and week out that that's a huge part of it.
Over on the defensive side of the ball, we got some Will Parks action. Can he make an impact for this defense?
You know, that I'm very hesitant to say yes, because really the play that stands out is the end there, where it's Evan Engram on Will Parks one-on-one, and he runs a fade from the slot. He's wide open. The ball hits him in the hands. And, I mean, just think about it, guys. If that ball is caught, and that ball should be caught, you know, 9 out of 10 times, 10 out of 10 times, it's a totally different conversation we're having. So I haven't seen much from Will Parks. You know, a lot of times we harp on these guys' versatility, but you look at it and, well, where are they above average? You know, is he above average covering tight ends? I don't know that. Is he above average against the run? Is he above average in the deep middle part of the field playing single high? I mean, I don't know that he's great at any of those things. He can just kind of do a bunch of different things at an okay level. So certainly they needed someone back there at safety, and you hope that he could be competent. But I've been sort of skeptical that he's going to be a real difference maker for them.
It looked like they were picking on Cravon LeBlanc at times. How good is he?
You know, I like LeBlanc. He's going to give up some plays. He gave up the 39-yard touchdown to Golden Tate. The coverage was good. He didn't make a play on the ball there, kind of at the catch point. But I'll take those guys, because he competes every play. He's physical. He doesn't, you know, the mental aspect, he gives up a big play. It doesn't kind of snowball on him. He always comes back. And so I like LeBlanc in the slot. I've liked him in the slot really all season long. I think he really gives you a chance to compete. Darius Slay has been very good. So, you know, I kind of wonder about the ceiling of this defense, because the defensive line to me has been really good. Darius Slay has been exactly what you hoped for. And still the defense has overall, I would say, been mediocre by all statistical rankings. So it's sort of tough. You know, you look at kind of the other areas of the secondary, you look at the linebacker play, those obviously have been weak spots.
Shiel Kapadia with us, as he is every Wednesday at this time. Thorough breakdown of the Birds. Shiel, has Brandon Graham been the Eagles' best player this year?
Let me think about that. I think he's definitely on the short list.
I mean, is it him and Slay? Are they the two best players this year on the team?
Yeah, I think I would say that. I'm trying to think of a third one. Certainly there's nobody. Kelsey's been pretty good if you want to throw him in there. But, yeah, Graham has been really interesting, because at this age, you know, going into the season, they have all these guys over 30, and you're thinking, all right, it's more likely that these guys are going to get injured or their play is going to decline. And I certainly had Graham in that category. You know, I didn't think he was going to stink. I didn't think he was going to kind of fall off a cliff, but you thought, all right, he's probably hit his prime and now it's going to kind of come back down on the other side of that slope. And it's really been the opposite. I mean, the guy is playing as well as you've ever seen him. And when you talk about culture and giving effort on every play and playing the run and playing the pass and, you know, being a good teammate, all these different types of things, it really is a fascinating career when you think about how it started, the Super Bowl, obviously, and now kind of extending it into this this third part, really, you could say, of his career. He's been fantastic. There's no doubt about it.
You say that you feel like the D-line has played well. Does that include the D-tackle play?
I think we talked about Javon Hargrave last week, and it's continued. I mean, I don't see this guy making an impact at all. I mean, $13 million a year, and he's not playing better than any of their backups. So I would not include him there. Mm-hmm. I think Fletcher Cox has been solid. I don't think he's hit his ceiling. I don't think he's obviously in that like Aaron Donald category, but he certainly has showed up. I think he's been better than he has last year. But I would say the defensive end spot has been really impressive with Brandon Graham, Josh Sweat, and I thought Derek Barnett had his best game last week. I mean, he had a couple spin moves off the edge. One was a sack. Another was a quarterback hit. So, you know, if you look at kind of all the overall pass rush statistics and just look at the film there on that, I think the defensive line has been a bright spot this
year. Yeah, it looks like the inside spin move. He started doing it more the previous week, and he's getting home with it. The last two-point conversion, I'm interested in what you thought of the play where Jalen Hurts ended up throwing the ball to Carson Rogers or Richard Wentz or however you want to put it. I mean, they were both in the same place in the back of the end zone. It was a failed two-point conversion. What did you think of the play itself?
Yeah, I think that was just I believe it was a zone read. And, you know, it turned into he had nowhere to go with the ball. And so he kind of just tucked it up there because he was going to get tackled. You know, I've been disappointed with pretty much the entire Jalen Hurts package. You know, they draft Jalen Hurts, and they're floating all these things. You know, look at how Taysom Hill is used. Look at how Lamar Jackson was used as a rookie. You know, we're going to be able to do all kinds of things with Jalen Hurts, even if he's not the starter. And I haven't seen anything creative. I mean, and this is an offense that needs it. You know, it's been one of the five or six worst offenses in the league, and he comes in the game, and you're running a zone read. I mean, this is what you spend a second-round pick on. You know, I would like to see him out there on a first down and, you know, fake a zone read and then have him throw the ball downfield. You know, that was a strength of his in college, is he really had nice touch on downfield passes. I mean, when you need to manufacture an explosive play or jumpstart the offense, you know, get him in there. And you can kind of – can you just see it? When he goes to the sideline, it's almost like he's whispering to Doug, get me back out there. Yeah. I can help us out. I mean, there's so many shots of him just kind of standing next to Doug, hoping to get back out there. So that has been disappointing to me that they have not found anything creative to do with Jalen Hurts. It's just, you know, I think he's thrown the one pass. Other than that, he gets in the game, it's his own read, and that's all they got. And obviously defenses in that specific situation with the two-point conversion, they were ready for it. They weren't fooled at all.
So, based on what you've seen outside the NFC East with the rest of the NFL, how likely is it that this Eagles team can win a game outside the division?
Win a game outside the division? I mean, you know, there will be some. I would be
how low, John? How low are your expectations to win a game? Holy hell!
Yeah,
I thought he was going to. Chill, I thought his intent was to win a playoff game when
That's what I thought. Yeah, I thought win a playoff game. You know, turn this thing around.
Holy smokes!
Something like that. I mean, it's not good. You know, I don't want to sugarcoat it. You know, that was a game where you're down by, 11 points with 6 minutes left to one of the three or four worst teams in the NFL. And so you turn it around, you get credit for that, you get credit for the end there. But this division is sort of an all-time, you know, terrible division right now where you really are looking at six wins, maybe 6-9-1 very well could win this division. And, you know, if you want a bright spot, you look at, like, the odds out there, the percentages. I think I saw somewhere had them as the favorites at, 55%. To win the NFC East. So it's, you know, it'll keep our attention all season, John. I don't know how many games they're going to win outside the division. I don't think it's going to be a lot. You got to kind of just take care of business against the Cowboys, the Giants, and Washington.
Well, Shil, the natural follow-up question, of course, is, and with the trade deadline on Tuesday, should the Eagles buy, should they sell, or should they just stand pat? Where do you stand on that issue?
I think it's going to be probably quiet for them. Like, you could see sort of a small trade, you know, maybe like you throw J.J. Arcega-Whiteside out there to a team who gives you their underachieving second-year player who maybe you like during the draft process, but you obviously can't be buyers. I mean, that would be GM malpractice to convince yourself that you're going to get a rental of somebody here for the rest of the season and maybe win 7 or 8 games. Now, if there's a young player on another team with a good contract and he's under contract for 2 or 3 years, then yeah, then maybe you could certainly consider that. But then in terms of being a seller, I mean, I don't see a lot of options, to be quite honest. I mean, who on this team is coveted by other teams around the league? I don't know if you guys kicked that around.
The names we've tossed into the mix could be, I mean, it could be Brandon Graham. It could be Jason Kelsey. It could be Rodney McLeod. It could be Jalen Mills. It could be Fletcher Cox. I mean, yes, it's different than when we perceived it as Deshaun or Ertz or Deshaun, you know, but like there are other guys that contribute that other teams could want.
Yeah, I don't think those guys are going to get you the return that would make it worth it. You know, because guys like Graham and Kelsey, you potentially could still have as contributors next year. You know, those are culture guys. You're banged up already, or you really could torpedo your season. And it's not like you're going to get, you know, a first-round pick for those guys. I mean, you're probably looking at a day 2 or a day 3 pick. So I would not do something like that. Jalen Mills, you know, he was a free agent and nobody really showed interest in him last offseason, and he signed a deal with the Eagles. So that's why I just kind of have a hard time looking at some of those veterans as guys where you would get enough compensation back to sort of make it worth it right now.
All right, Shield, final thing here. Eagles Cowboys on Sunday. And of course, we've all seen a lot of Dallas games, but curious from your perspective, covering the league as a whole, why is Dallas so bad? I mean, we now know Dak's out and maybe the backup's out, and that's a whole different dynamic. But even when Dak was there, why are they so bad?
Defense is a complete disaster. You know, they brought in Mike Nolan, a longtime coach in the league. They switched schemes, and it's just been a complete mess. They lost free agents in the offseason. Their defense wasn't very good last year. And so I would say they have one of the 3 or 4 worst defenses in the entire league. And then you look at it offensively, they were moving the ball, but they were turning the ball over like crazy. I mean, I think there's been 4 or 5 games where they've been down by like 17 points in the first half. And so now you look at it and it's sort of like the culture looks like a disaster where, you know, you have players leaking about Mike McCarthy. You have a banged up offensive line. You're on your 3rd-string quarterback. I mean, this right now, you know, I had to do like a power rankings article. I had them 31st ahead of only the Jets.
Wow.
I mean, you saw what they did last week against Washington. As constructed right now, legitimately one of the 2 or 3 worst teams in the league.
Unbelievable. At Shield Kapadia on Twitter for all sorts of great content, Eagles and NFL related as a whole. Shield, as always, thanks so much, man.
Take care, guys.
All right,
thanks,
great
Shield.
Stuff. Who would have thought back in June, July, and August that 7 weeks into the season, someone as astute as Shield, and by the way, other people, it's not like Shield's talking crazy talk. Other people, if they want to have him 31st, they'd have him in the low 20s. Would have the Dallas Cowboys ranked 31st in pro football in a power ranking.
Well, and also,
that's incredible.
Well, yesterday on our show, too, Ross said, quote unquote, they're one of the 2 or 3 worst teams in the NFL. So he's right there with Shield, too.
By the way, one quick thing is, John, James just did something that I've always, and I do it myself, and I think millions of us do it, and I think it makes no sense, unless I'm hearing it wrong. James said, Ross said, quote unquote, and then the sentence. Shouldn't it be, Ross said, quote, the sentence, and then unquote?
That's an interesting point.
We all say, you know what, I heard Frank, you know what Frank said? Frank said, quote, unquote, we're going to win the game. No, didn't Frank say, quote, we're going to win the game, unquote?
That's a great point, John. I never thought about it.
This has bugged me for years. It's a pet peeve.
A peeve.
It's a peeve. We're all wrong, right?
I think, yeah.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
All right, Pete, have your ear attuned to that one in the future. We all do it, and I don't know why we do it. It's weird. Let's go to George in Conshohocken. Hey, George.
Joe and John, good mid-morning to you guys.
Hi, George.
Hey, John, have you guys ever seen Trading Places?
Yeah, sure.
Murphy movie. Well, it reminds me of, like, you know, when the Duke brothers, they had the orange juice report, the crop report, and it was wrong. And the Eagles team is all wrong. And now I feel like Randolph looking at Mortimer at the end. And he's going, sell, sell, because I feel like this just all went wrong here. And I know what Shield said, that you're not going to get a lot back for some of these players, but I'm definitely not buying. And I'm definitely more on the sell side. But I do see, you know, if you're not going to get the good return for some of these guys, and why would you actually do it? But I'm definitely not buying. I mean, this team needs to get younger. I mean, if anything, it's sell for me.
In part, even if you don't get a good return, at least you don't have to pay the salary next year.
Well, that would be true.
We're talking an awful lot about getting out from under a lot of what we owe. We're in the red big time.
Absolutely. And if we could get better, like get rid of Fletcher Cox's salary, I would be all for that. I mean, I'd hate to.
Well, after restructuring him, without me knowing exactly what it would cost to get rid of him, I bet you it's really expensive.
Yeah.
Like, you might have one of those cap collapse issues. So it might not even really be a viable option.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I just know I wouldn't be giving away any draft picks or assets for trying to trade to make this team better.
I got to ask you a Trading Places, Randolph and Mortimer trivia question, George.
Yes.
What movie did they appear in?
Come to America.
Well done.
Boom.
Well done. I thought you would get it, by the way.
Hey, listen, Joe, I have one question. I know I was talking to James, and I know he disagrees with me. Does the baseball thing still feel like an asterisk? Because I feel like that postseason was really good, and the Dodgers shouldn't be slighted, kind of on the shorter season.
Good question.
I was kind of wondering your thoughts.
Richie?
It was an epic World Series, but it doesn't – and I do – feel as though like the best teams that we saw play this year were playing for the title.
That helps. If the Marlins had gotten in there and actually won or been in the World Series, you'd have more validity on. Look, George, I was from the start, and my whole point from the beginning was no asterisk from the very beginning because I thought whoever would win it would have achieved. And it's an achievement. Even if the Marlins had won it, it would be an achievement. So I was against it from the beginning, but I agree with the point that the fact that the Dodgers won it and they beat the Rays makes it even more unnecessary for an asterisk.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I obviously disagree with both of you.
George, give me a star-making roller moment.
Oh, man. Well, now that we're talking about the World Series, a month ago, none of you guys, maybe even not Seltzer, who's a baseball purist, could have told you who Randy Arozarena was.
All
but
right.
Now he's an absolute superstar, and everybody knows him.
All right, buddy. You got
it,
George.
Great answer.
Yeah, you don't see too many bursts on the scene late. Like, remember K-Rod had that, James?
Mm-hmm.
0-2 Angels, right?
Yep.
Every once in a while, you get that sort of breakthrough playoff performer guy.
It's rare. It is rare.
It is a rare thing. It is. All right, up ahead, your chance to win the Nest Audio from Google. We give it away on our show 3 times a day, including... coming up next, your chance next, all the phone calls as well. You just heard a couple callers and Shields say, heck no, you can't buy. You kidding me? You can't be buyers. And yet in first place, I know there are people out there that say buy.
And there were those reports last week that we were positioning to buy.
I mean, we've seen conflicting reports. Listen, it may be that it might come down to whether the Eagles beat Dallas. I mean, this might be one of those things, Howie doesn't do anything until then, and it all happens Monday. I was going to say Sunday night, but the game's Sunday night. It could all happen Monday, buy or sell, based on whether you won or lost on Sunday. That's possible.
You're right.
All right, Joe DeCameron, John Rich, all that up ahead on 94 WIP. Let me tell you about a great bet type you can make this pro football season with FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. Same game parlays. That's right, same game parlays. Very simple. Very simple concept. Very fun way to go. Combining multiple bets from one game into a single parlay. That way the payouts or even bigger when you win. And what's cool is FanDuel will refund you the first same-game parlay you lose on any pro football game each week up to $10, meaning you can bet a different parlay risk-free every week all season long. Hey, so much to look at, including, well, this week and up ahead and the game right here in South Philadelphia and all the different bet types within the game. Find two that work for you. Parlay, bang, you're in with FanDuel Sportsbook. Now, here's one catch. It's not really a catch. It's more like an addendum and a great one. FanDuel's the only sportsbook app that even has these same-game parlays. How cool is that? Hey, get yourself a FanDuel account and sign up using promo code HAMMER. Promo code HAMMER for the very best deal. Promo code HAMMER for the best deals you can possibly find with FanDuel Sportsbook.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.